We had a house up in Minor, 605 North Minor Place. There's beginning to be a lot of work to take care of it. So we sold that, and that was the beginning. Then we decided to move from Arrowsmith out to Covington, so we sold the Arrowsmith house, which meant we had to move 30 years of gathering of things. Moai's a collector. She says I'm the collector, but actually she's the collector. Anyway, we had to move all that stuff. And then we bought a house in Covington. And after we bought the house, we realized they had perfumed it well. And after the perfume wore off, somebody had been smoking in there for 25 years. So we pulled out all the carpets and painted the walls three times. I'm getting tired. Anyway, we got it pretty well under control. We're getting there. We have a lot of stuff stored out in the garage. One thing I was thankful for, after the sixth box, I found my wife. So things started looking up. She's out and about fixing the Rice Krispies and all that kind of stuff. All right. But anyway, good news, I think I get to retire now. One way or another. All right. I wanted you to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Think about the three tenses of salvation, past, present, and future. They're all there in Ephesians chapter 1. Not very many chapters in the Bible talk about salvation, past, present, and future in one chapter, which it does in Ephesians chapter 1. Salvation in past, present, and future tense. So let's look at those for a few minutes. Salvation past tense, as you read in verse 3 and 4. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So, how long ago did he choose us? Before the world ever was brought about. How long ago was that? A long time ago. We don't know. But God had a plan. It's amazing that God planned this all out before it ever happened. How many years before, we don't know, because there's no time with God. But anyway, in the councils of heaven, God planned out that he was going to make an earth. He was going to have people. He was going to have people living on earth. He knew that man would sin, and he was going to plan a salvation for them and then be able to come to be with him for eternity. That's a pretty powerful plan. So God planned this all out in his own counsels. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world to know his honor, to know blessing, to know privilege, and it's in line with Jesus Christ, in line with our being chosen by him, and the spiritual blessings are ours because we are with Christ, we are in Christ. There's a word that's used about six times in this chapter. It's according to. And it uses a little different form in the first few verses in verse 3 and 4, but it basically means a similar thing as it does in the other five places where it uses kata, which means according to. Or as one man explained it, it's like getting on an elevator. Say you're on the first floor and you go up to the fifth floor. Now you're in level with the fifth floor, according to the fifth floor. Let's say everything on the fifth floor is yours now because you're on the fifth floor. That's what he's saying here, according to. Certain things happened, and now it lines up with the fifth floor or whatever. It lines up with what else God has planned, and it's there for you. So let's look at some of those things. It's kind of, you know, like we have in the beginning here where he says he chose us in him. And before that, in verse 3, he talks about spiritual blessings, that he wants to bless us with spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And he chose us in Christ that could be possible. So you have God planning out a marvelous salvation, and as you read through scriptures, you see how marvelous it is, how God worked all the details for us to know Jesus Christ, to have our sins forgiven, to belong to the family of God, to be able to go to heaven, and He's planned all the spiritual blessings up there for us. So He starts in verse 3 talking about spiritual blessings, and then He says, guess who's going to get to see those and be with those and understand those and have those? It's you. You who are in Christ, because I have chosen you in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, and I planned out everything that would be yours in heaven way before that. Isn't that amazing? Can it get any better than that? Like you say to your child, I planned out something marvelous for you. It's in your bedroom. Let's go up there to the second floor. And you get to the second floor and you have all kinds of wonderful things for your child. And now the child is on that level and it's all theirs. God says, hey, children, I planned it all out. All these spiritual blessings. I don't know what level heaven is, 99 maybe or 100, but He says, hey, I'm going to bring you up here. You're my child. I have these blessings for you. I have chosen you in Jesus Christ. You know Him in a personal way. He lives in your soul. I'm bringing you up to heaven, and all these things are going to be yours. And we get to enjoy some of it right now, right? Of course, we're limited in this life because we have a human body, and it's frail, and all kinds of things can happen, and there's, you know, so there's a limit here, but there's no limit in heaven. It's all going to be perfect. But He still blesses us even while we're here on earth in many ways and shares Himself with us. So with the saints and faithful, verse 1, God shares His grace and peace, verse 2, to move us towards His will for us to be holy and without blame before Him in love. For the fourth verse, that's His love, God's great love. Chosen us and moved us as saints and faithful, share His grace and peace with us and make us holy and without blame before Him in love. And it's His love, God's love. What do you know about love apart from God? Oh, there's human love, but it doesn't really go very far, does it? But thank God for His love and that we're united with His love and we can know about His love, and He's going to share Himself with us forever and ever in the love of Jesus Christ. One of the key verses on the past that I was thinking about, because we're talking about the past tense of salvation, is whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning and admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. It's all back there, but it's brought to us to understand and to enjoy the things of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Another verse that talks about that in a sense is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, way back, today, and forever, past, present, and future. So God planned out our salvation long before it took place. He's such a great God. Should we be thankful? Should we honor Him? Of course. Now, doesn't it make sense that if He can plan eternity, and He can take care of eternity, and He can take care of bringing us into eternity, that He can plan out this life for us? Could it be possible that God could take care of me now? If He can do all these other marvelous and wonderful things that He's planned out for all eternity, we should be able to trust Him every day, right? We should be able to trust Him with our daily lives. Of course, we know there's problems down here. There's frustrations. There's difficulties. But still, God is on the throne. He still knows what's going on. He can still and will take care of those who walk with Him and trust Him. What's that verse in Romans that says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. And His purpose, of course, is in the next verse, verse 29, that we become more and more like Jesus. Become like the Lord. Learn to walk with the Lord. Learn to honor His word. So God's plans are never faulty. He's going to work this all out. It's all by Him, and to Him, and through Him, and for Him. Past tense salvation. How about present tense salvation? Look at verse 7. He is so rich in kindness that He purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Present tense, He redeemed us through His blood. The price is paid. He saved us. He secured us. It's in line with the riches of His grace. He saved us in Jesus Christ, and He brought us up to this level of being in line with Jesus Christ, being in line with the Lord Jesus, and having a great salvation through His blood. What a price to pay. Isn't it amazing that God would give His life for us? That Jesus, it's even staggering to imagine God taking a human body. I mean, God is a spirit. The only thing He's doing by taking a human body is limiting Himself. He limits Himself by taking a human body. Why would He want to do that? For you. For me. I don't understand it. But through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Jesus coming to this earth and giving His life for us, He worked that all out. It's God's plan. I don't understand it, but He worked it all out. It's His plan. So that we could have salvation, so that we could know through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ forgiveness of our sins. The blood is a price that's enough to save us and enough to secure us. The blood of God. Can you imagine that? And God, as a spirit, and the Father and the Holy Spirit don't have blood. The only part of God that has blood is the body of Jesus Christ as He came to this earth. And then you remember, as He left the earth, He was given a glorious body. So it's an amazing thing to think about how God planned this all out and how God could become human, how God could have blood running through His veins, how God could give that blood for my sins and yours. To bring us to heaven. What an amazing plan. Present tense salvation. It's according to the riches of His grace. I was looking at that word according, and it's found 5 or 6 times in this chapter. Once we mentioned in verse 3 and 4, and some versions use a little different word there, but it still has the same idea of bringing us from one level to another. And then it's used another 5 times. And in talking about bringing us up to His level, the level of God in what He's planned for us, there's resource in verse 1 to 3, there's relationship in verse 4, there's redemption in verse 5 to 7, there's revealing of certain aspects of His truth in verse 9, there's refreshing encouragement in verse 8 through 11, there's reward in verse 11. There's renewing in 12 to 17. There's the reality of His power in 19. And there's His reigning in 21 to 23. So you see a lot about how He's planning out our great salvation for us, and just the way the word according is used as He shares it with us. I wrote some things down about that are interesting. If you look at the places where according or a similar word is used, in verse 4, according as He has chosen us. In verse 5, He set the bounds according to His good pleasure of His will. In verse 7, there's redemption in line with the riches of His grace. In verse 9, the mystery of His will, which is according to the good pleasure which He has purposed in Himself. In verse 11, He uses the word according for inheritance. He brings us up to a level of the inheritance He has for us by Him who works things, all things after the counsel of His own will. And verse 19, His great power, which He wrought in Jesus Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and makes that power available to us according to the working of His mighty power when He raised Jesus. Now you notice all of these things that he's done for us and all of these things that he's brought us up to. How does that all take place? Well, it says in verse 4, he. Says in verse 5, his will. Says in verse 7, his grace. Verse 9, he has purposed in himself. Verse 11, it's him who works after the counsel of his own will, working of his mighty power when he raised Jesus. Every aspect of all of these blessings of moving to the level of Jesus Christ, whether it's for time or eternity, is all based on him. It's all God. It isn't anything that we did. That's why this salvation is so marvelous, because it's not based on us. It's not based on what we do. It's there for us. And you notice all of these marvelous things he talks about in Ephesians are all he, him, his will, and so on. God did it. Marvelous God, isn't he? I think his plans are pretty good. I kind of like them. How about you? Think we could have done it any better? I'll tell you what we could have done. We could have messed it up. But not God. His plans are perfect. His salvation is perfect. Past, present, and future. His salvation is perfect. So he's done all these marvelous things for us. We are redeemed. He paid the price to set us free in the marketplace of sin, never to be sold again. He gives us wisdom in verse 8 and 9, wisdom and discernment to live with his purpose and his praise, verse 11 and 12. So, you know, if we get into the Word, he will give us his purposes. He will show us his purposes. He will give us wisdom and discernment. If you get into the Word of God, study it, think about it, meditate on it, God will give you wisdom and discernment. Now, the way the world is going, you know, we need all the more wisdom and discernment we can get. Don't try to do it on your own. Go to God and get his understanding. Go to God and let him... He wants to bring you to that level where you can get his wisdom and discernment. And we all miss it sometimes, right? Because we're so good at missing the mark. But if we will go to him, he will show us. You know, it's just staggering sometimes to look at people and the things they're going through just because they're trying to do it on their own. They're trying to plan it all out by themselves. And they're going the way of the world, and they're choosing the things of the world, and they pay the price of doing that. Being conformed to the world has its price. But we can be free in Jesus Christ. We can have his wisdom and his discernment. And if anything is going to help us get through this life, you know, and do a good job of glorifying God, and know the peace and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's getting some wisdom and discernment from him. And he is so willing to share it with those who will come. In him we have an inheritance, verse 11. It's hard to imagine what that will be like. It comes out of his will. And presently you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. I believe it's about 13. And now you have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. Wow. You're saved. God loves you. God provides for you. God has given you an inheritance. Can't begin to imagine what that's going to be like. God gives the best gifts. And he's going to give us an inheritance. It's like that song says, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. It's going to be a great inheritance. He's given us His Holy Spirit to live within us, to direct us, to guide us in that wisdom and discernment He wants us to have. And the Holy Spirit blesses us abundantly and takes care of us. He's sealed us in the Holy Spirit. It's guaranteed, He says. Body, soul, and spirit. It's all guaranteed. Lord Jesus Christ. So work out your own salvation by letting God work in you. He gives us wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, verse 17. He opens the eyes of our heart in verse 18 to 20 to see three things. The hope that He's calling us to, the wealth of inheritance that He has in the saints, and the great power that He gives to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the power that He used when He raised Jesus from the dead. He opens our eyes to see that. So past tense, present tense. Think about future tense for just a minute. When we see Him, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. We have eternal life. Our future is forever. And in Ephesians 1, He talks about the world that is to come in verse 21. He talks about Jesus ruling and us ruling with Jesus and the angels. He talks about blessing us as His church. He's blessed us in marvelous ways. He's blessed us in the person of Himself. He's blessed us past, present, and future. There isn't a moment of time that He hasn't planned. There isn't a moment of time that He can't take care of. What a great God to think of us so much that He would plan out a great salvation for us, that in the present time He would bring us into a personal relationship with Him, and in the future He would take us to be with Him in the glory forever and ever. Can't get any better than that. You know, it's interesting how many people have no concept of Scripture. How many people have no concept of what we're talking about this morning? While we're moving and people working on our house and stuff, we often have a chance to ask them if they know if they're going to heaven. And it's interesting to see their response. We've asked several people, and I remember one guy is able to talk to him a bit about it and then share some verses with him. And we had a guy that come and looked at a system we had put in the house, and when he was through, my wife was talking to him before he left, and she said, "Now, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Do you know where you would go?" He's like, "I just go wherever I want to go. I just kind of do my thing." He had no conception what she was talking about. That these two old people here from outer space, what are they talking about? You know? People really have no concept. So you kind of have to work with them and see where they are and see where they're coming from and, you know, get to know them a little bit. It seems like you have to get to know people a little bit before they really have any concept of what you're talking about. But we know because we know Jesus Christ. And we can share because we know Jesus Christ. And who knows what will happen if you talk to somebody or give them a tract or talk to them about Jesus. Who knows what will happen? You've got a great salvation, past, present, and future. So live it and love it and share it. Amen. Father, thank You for today, for the Word of God. Thank You that You have planned so marvelously for us. Thank You for Ephesians chapter 1, that You talk about a salvation that You planned out before the world was ever formed, that presently in time You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross that we might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. sealed by the Holy Spirit, guaranteed all the blessings of God, and then a future, Father, where we look forward to being absent from the body and present with the Lord. Just help us to appreciate it, Father. Help us to know your love and share your love. Help us to build our lives on your wisdom and discernment. Help us to be careful, Father, to give you thanks for every aspect of the marvelous salvation you have provided for us. Thank you for the church here. Thank you for the people. Thank you for Pastor Cook. We just pray you'll bless him and his family. And we pray, Father, that you will cause us to rejoice in the abundant life you've made for us and the way you've shared and built this salvation through Jesus Christ. So guide us and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, you have anything else? Official dismissal?
Well, I was wondering, we have time. Could you or Thelma share a little bit about John and Susan and what's happening and how their health is?
Sure, we could do that for a minute.